In Business on Radio Kerry. Keeping you informed with business matters, home and abroad.
Good evening and you're very welcome to In Business. Amber Galway here with you until 7 o'clock this evening. I'm filling in for Mary Gallagher again this week. I hope you're all keeping very well. Over the next hour, we'll be hearing about the impacts on businesses now that state supports introduced for COVID-19 are coming to an end. Why is credit control so important for businesses and what should businesses be doing now to ensure everything's in order? And we'll also hear from a local business which was part of Super Value's Food Academy. And of course, we'll also have live racing coverage from Killarney during the show. As always, I'd love for you to get in touch. You can email inbusiness@radiokerry.ie. You can tweet the show, we're at InBusinessRK, or you can also send us a message via the Radio Kerry Facebook page, and I'd love to hear from you this evening. Now, COVID-19 supports were such a great support for businesses during the pandemic, but now that they're ending, how are businesses coping? To talk a bit more about this, I'm delighted to be joined by Louise Carey, who's an accountant, auditor and tax consultant in the Stole, and David Moran from Casey Stevenson Accountants. Louise and David, you're both very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So Louise, I might start with yourself. Are you noticing that there's been an increase of post-COVID insolvencies as firms are dealing with the reality of doing business without COVID subsidies and the supports that they would have been used to having?
Yeah, the subsidies were very good when they were there. There was a lot of subsidies, and unfortunately, if someone hadn't a tax year insurance, they couldn't get the subsidies. If someone was in trouble at the time, they wouldn't have got any subsidies. But yes, things have changed completely since COVID, in that you have working from home, your problems with some employers prefer to do it the more traditional way. The employee might prefer to work from home. A big problem at the moment with firms is when we're nearly at full employment, is try and get the relevant employees, which is very hard to get. So they're feeling the pinch that way. And a lot of people then, they're going into warehouse debt as well. So that's coming up. It's coming up until April next year under restrictive circumstances. So the people will find the hit there when that comes into play. So the last of that ends in 30th of April 2023. Which you'd have to have been on the EWSS to get this. There's also problems as well if people are finding the pinch with the economy. If they have to do, the redundancy schemes now are gone completely. There's a very restrictive one that was brought in under COVID-19, but that's only giving you 2,268, which if you had someone working for you for 10 years, the employer would probably be able to pay about 18,000. So that scheme is gone as well, the main one that was there a few years ago. Really, the whole landscape has changed and some people are finding it difficult to keep up. I would say that people that, for anyone that's in business, you really have to keep track of your expenses, not only to keep your income your taxes down, but also people in business, looking at the turnover, you really have to track your expenses to make sure your gross profit is enough to cover all the other administration expenses, rates, wages, etc. So I think, like a lot of my clients use QuickBooks, or there's a local one in Killarney called Sort My Books, and if people keep their expenses all recorded, you can also do your invoices straight away on that app, and it'll keep track of who owes you money and help you to get the money in, which is most important. But it's most important that you are covering all your expenses and that you are recording them properly. Otherwise, you have to look at your business model to take more in to cover those expenses.
We might go into that in more detail in a few minutes. I suppose, yeah. David, I'll come to yourself now. Yep. I suppose kind of the same question towards yourself. I presume it's something that you're noticing as well.
It is, yeah, but like we've seen, unfortunately, some insolvencies. But I think with the various factors in play, given in inflation, with the soaring energy costs and supply chain issues, and obviously the warehousing, as Louise mentioned, I think there's going to be a little bit more as we go on and into 2023. I think the stats show that the insolvencies are up a lot in 2021, but they're still well down on pre-pandemic levels. So I think, although we've seen some cases there, unfortunately, I think there's going to be a number of more as the year goes on and into next year. particularly, I suppose, with the warehousing is going to be an issue. I think there was 12,000 businesses that warehouse debt. We're seeing a lot of our clients who have warehoused, and how we go about paying that. A down payment will have to be made. I suppose under our normal circumstances, it would have to be 25% or 40% to maintain the tax clearance cert. Revenue have come out now and said that it's going to be a case-by-case basis. So I suppose we're encouraging all our clients to be very proactive in that space and make sure that, you know, we're approaching revenue with a payment plan that suits the company, because I suppose, look, revenue are going to be the winner in that sense. Once the company can pay back its debt, there shouldn't be an issue. So if it's a company that's a seasonal business with strong trading, you know, strong profits in certain parts of the year, that there are times where the repayments are made, and maybe if there's quieter periods that there's no payments in that period. And I think that's what we're trying to do, to go in with a strong case to revenue initially and try and be proactive about it.
That's very good advice. And David, I suppose you mentioned that the warehousing, that's April, I suppose, is when we're looking to, when we're talking about that. So is now the time to kind of start working on it and start getting ready, just to give yourself time?
In fairness, and a lot of companies, it'll kick in January, you know, and it'll be a case of a down payment will have to be made. It'll be a payment plan probably over 5 years, which will include 3% interest. And, you know, it is important to work with revenue, and, you know, one size won't fit all here. You know, the businesses are different, and it'll be very important that the payment plan, you know, suits the business. And I suppose, as I said, we're encouraging businesses that we're approaching revenue with the payment plan that suits our business the most, and trying to agree it on that basis.
Louise, I'll bring you back in here now as well. In relation to the COVID supports, do you think that they maybe ended too soon for businesses? I suppose we were coming out of the pandemic, they were trying to recover, which obviously does take a bit of time. Were the supports ended too soon, do you think? Or is it just a matter of businesses getting themselves in order maybe and just working out the best way to kind of recover now that the supports are going as well?
Yeah, they did end a bit too soon in the fact that people were still scared of COVID. So if you're in the entertainment business or even the retail business selling clothes, shops, there's a lot of people didn't want to come out, and you still see a lot of people wearing masks, a lot of people very nervous, especially elderly people. So the turnover in those businesses is still down. So I think there should be some form of support still, which would be very good for the businesses, you know, to keep them going, and maybe extend the warehouse debt as well, and maybe the restrictions, a lot more restrictions to get into the 30th of April next year. So maybe if they ease those restrictions a bit to help people out, keep trying until they get back to a more normal, natural level that they were at. Then you have the whole thing that COVID has changed. You have more people doing everything online. There might be a problem with people getting back to pre-COVID levels as well, so they'd have to look at their whole business structure. And maybe if they could get a bit more extra leeway from revenue, maybe, you know, people that could get support. Because a lot of pubs in the country are way down, and retail and shops, clothes shops, that kind of thing, are way down. So it'll take a while for them to come back to pre-COVID levels. And, like, we still have COVID, so there's still nervousness among people to go out and shop or go out and socialise.
We must just take a quick break now, so stay tuned. We'll be hearing more from Louise and David afterwards.
In Business on Radio Kerry. For information and advice on personal and commercial finance.
Welcome back to the show. Amber Galway here with you until 7 o'clock. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can email inbusiness@radiokerry.ie. Tweet the show, we're at InBusinessRK, or you can also get in touch via the Radio Kerry Facebook page. Now, I'm still joined by David and Louise, and we're talking about COVID supports and how businesses are coping. David, I suppose I mentioned this a minute ago, but businesses were coming out of the pandemic, they're trying to recover as best they can. It will take some time, and now businesses are facing rising energy costs. There's probably increased wage demands as well, because the cost of living and staff are struggling as well. So it's quite a stressful time for businesses. But is there anything that they can be doing at the moment to try and put themselves in the best position possible to deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like as you said, it is a very stressful time for business. I know, as Louise was saying there, sometimes the landscape, you know, coming out of COVID, we were fearing, was it the same market that we were going back into, or was there a totally different market that people had to, I suppose, address, and what will people's needs and wants be the same post-COVID? Some of the things that we're looking into, something Louise touched on earlier, I think is very important, is the pricing. People are finding it very difficult to price stuff at the moment, given that the cost of raw materials are keep changing. And, you know, whether it's to make sure that the pricing that you're charging is covering not just your cost of sales, but also your administration and other costs. And, you know, that is very important. It's very important that you keep monitoring. Look, the reality of life is that there are some industries at the moment where people are able to pass on the additional costs that they're bearing, and then there's other industries that they just can't because it's just not the market that they're. So what we're encouraging all our clients to do is to make sure that you're constantly reviewing your pricing policies. Is there other ways, you know, the supply chain, is there ways of trying to become more economical in terms of your purchasing and all that? A big thing really as well is the monitoring of cash flow. I mean, obviously, look, there's plenty of models and all that kind of stuff. But even, you know, it can be basic. The most important thing is people are monitoring their cash weekly, monthly minimum, or weekly. We're encouraging clients weekly that you know what's coming in and what's coming out every week or every month. I mean, the reality of life is that this isn't something to bury your head in the sand about. You know, knowledge is power here. You need to know your runway. You need to know your run rate to know, you know, how much cash you have, you know, how long it's lasting. Is it increasing month on month? And the only way to do it is to track it. And as I said, look, it doesn't have to be hugely fancy. It can be, you know, straightforward on Excel or whatever. It's monitoring your bank, and it's knowing what when there's big expenditure and big income coming in the future, and just monitoring to make sure it is on track. Another thing Louise spoke about earlier as well is the debtors. You know, people need to monitor their debtor days, you know, to make sure that they're collecting debts, their debtors on time. You know, and if they are struggling with debtors, that there's a payment plan in place. Other than that, maybe just to make sure that they're financing correctly. You know, you don't want to be a situation that if you're expanding and you're having some capital expenditure and you're financing it out of an overdraft instead of a higher purchase or a lease, or if there's a, you know, a cheaper way of doing it or spreading it over a couple of years, just to make sure that the way you're financing expansion, that it's, you know, that it's fit for purpose. They're the main ones that we're looking at. Obviously, they're shopping around for various energy providers and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I suppose pricing and cash flow, they're the two big ones that we're looking at.
Absolutely, that's some very good advice. Louise, in Britain at the moment, company failures are at their worst since the depths of the financial crisis. Is there a fear that Ireland could follow suit in this regard?
Yes, the rising price of everything. Everybody is affected, every consumer is affected by all the rising prices. So therefore, like, you have a business that will have to up its sales price, and you have consumers that have less cash in their pockets due to energy bills, etc. So that is a dangerous spiral. So it is a worrying thing. I would agree with David about, you know, what he was saying there. And people maybe consider if they have large bills, if they could maybe arrange direct debits every month, if they have a steady business all year round, not a seasonal business, that they could do direct debits and try and go into, be sure to go into arrangements for people if they're finding it hard to pay. Most people will go in arranging with them once they are getting paid. Some people make the mistake when they first go into business if they think they're getting, you know, I've taken in so much money, but 23% of that, if it's around 23% VAT rate, is VAT. So they've got to look at it. They've got to look at the net VAT figures. People as well get into trouble by, was more so a few years ago than now, but hiring people, if they hire people, they should have them on the books straight away, get their tax credits, tax cut-off. So really you have to try and keep planning ahead, always get your employees on the book straight away, and keep an eye on your costs. The hard thing will be is as businesses have to increase, the whole downward spiral thing is businesses will have to increase their pricing to pay for the extra cost, but the problem is the consumer then won't have the extra cash in his pocket either.
Yes, it's a delicate balance, I suppose. It's a tough one.
It is, yeah. It is. It's very tough. So that's what's going to make it very tough going forward, or at the moment it is. So unless the outside factors that we can't influence, like the war in Ukraine, which is keeping all these prices spiralling. So it's a tough one for businesses, really, this year.
It certainly is. Just before I let both of you go, David, I know you touched on it earlier on, but I suppose it's worth just mentioning it again, that people like yourself and Louise are there to help if businesses are stressed or feeling under pressure at the moment and just not sure where to turn. You're there to help them and to advise them as best as possible.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes, you know, just talking it out works, and you know, sometimes there's a simple solution to things. You know, as I said, a big key to this thing is not to bury your head in the sand. You know that you have, you know exactly where you are. All businesses will trade their way out of it, and it's just to make sure that you're one of those. And you know, as I said, if there's a payment plan to be put in place with revenue or whoever, that you know that you're proactive about it and you get it that suits your company, to make sure that it's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. Louise and David, thank you both for taking the time to talk to me. Much appreciated, and for joining me on the show.
No problem.
Lovely. Thanks very much. Thank you.
It's time for another quick break now, but do stay tuned to us here on Radio Kerry.
Keep up to date with Kerry Business News. Follow In Business or K on Twitter.
You're listening to In Business with me, Amber Galway, and you're very welcome back to the show. Now, IFAC is advising Kerry SMEs and start-up businesses to get their credit under control now to ensure long-term survival. To hear more, I'm joined on the line by Julie Burke, who's National Credit Controller at IFAC. Julie, you're very welcome to In Business.
Thank you, Amber.
Credit control is such an important part of business, and Julie, it's really something that SMEs and startups especially need to be thinking about, isn't it?
Absolutely. I always say credit control is like the beating heart. If you think of a business like a person, you know, if the money doesn't come in, it can't be distributed around to the rest of the body and keep it alive. So very important that people manage their credit control and get it under control.
And Julie, what advice would you have for SMEs and startups here in Kerry that are, I suppose, looking to get on top of their credit control and just start as they mean to go on?
Sure. I mean, there's a couple of top tips, and the first thing is don't put it off. A lot of businesses, you know, the answer is I'm too busy, and you should never be too busy to make sure that you're getting your creditors under control. A lot of follow-up is needed, and making those phone calls. You know, people send out a lot of letters with fees due, but they really don't want to make the phone call. And the thing is, a letter doesn't ask for an answer, but a phone call does. So you send out the letter and you don't get a reply, really. But if you make the phone call and have those conversations with your customers, it's really important. And it's a great litmus test as well to give you that feedback to say, well, you know, I'm not happy, or the supply was late, whatever's happened. It's really important that you fix those problems early on. And I often say eaten bread is soon forgotten. If you're not chasing it up in the first month, 2 months, people forget what a great service you provided to them 6 months ago. So it's very important that you're chasing it proactively, and they're remembering, yeah, you know, they did a great job for us and we should be paying them on time. So just being really, really proactive in it. And obviously, if you're not getting paid, you're not paying your suppliers, and that becomes a problem as well. And it's quite a bad habit that SMEs will often not chase their creditors, but then they'll pass on the problem to their suppliers. And you get this seesaw effect where there's no money coming in, they're passing on the problem to the suppliers. The supplier will eventually just say, I've had enough now, I can't give you any more because you're not paying me. And now the business is stuck. You know, there's nothing coming in and there's nothing coming out. So it can be a major problem. So don't put it off and just tackle it head on.
That's some very good advice. Julie, when we look at businesses, I suppose, that are starting up, like, there's so much to look at, and there's obviously the possibility to make mistakes. I suppose it's human error, isn't it? It's part of us all, you know, unfortunately it happens. But what would be some of the common mistakes that businesses would make in their first few years of trading?
I would say the major focus tends to be on sales and sales projections, and we think we're going to make this much money. And my advice to you would be, a sale is not a sale until it's in the bank. You know, you can, sales projections are a great future predictor. However, what have you got today? What have you made today? So if that sales projection is that you're expecting X amount in the bank that month, when you hit the next month, if you don't see that there, you need to be asking the questions why, and usually it's because there's no follow-up. So there's two very different figures there, and that is your sales projections and actually what you're making every month. So you really need to look very closely at both of those. The other one would be starting with your worst and working your way backwards. So, you know, if you have a list of debtors that you need to chase up, you need to start your worst. Who's the oldest fees due? Chase those and then work your way back towards what your credit terms actually are. I'd say the biggest mistake a lot of people make is just avoiding it altogether and thinking, well, I can't ring them and ask them for money. They're going to think the business is in trouble. And that's just not true. It's a myth. And I want to dispel that, because really what people will look at you as is, oh, they're very proactive in chasing their fees. I better put them on my preferred creditors list because they are going to be on the phone to me next month when the fees are due. So, you know, if anything, it's actually being proactive about it removes that problem. And the other one would be friends and family. So if you're giving friends and family discounts, etc., that's great. Of course, you're going to do that, especially as a small business. The one thing I would not negotiate on is your credit terms. So if your credit terms are 60 days, that's for everybody, no matter what. You know, obviously with friends and family, you might give them a really good discount, what have you, but it's very important that you communicate that and make it clear the credit terms are not up for negotiation, because you have to be able, as a small business, to depend on what's been promised to you in fees. So that would be my advice. And obviously, if it is a friend or family, maybe have somebody else in the office make those calls to remove you from the situation and to make sure that you're not putting a strain on any relationships that you have there. I would also say that the longer you leave it uncollected, the less likely it's going to be to recover the full amount. You know, so, you know, again, it's back to the eaten bread. You know, you've done a great job for somebody, you follow up proactively, and you will be paid on time. If you leave it, the longer you leave it, the more likely it is that person's going to say, well, actually, there was this, this, and this wrong. And that's very hard to chase 6 months down the line and go back and try and figure out what happened. But if it was just 2 weeks ago, it's very easy to go back and say, oh, okay, so there was an issue there. Remove that barrier for payment then. You know, if the delivery was...
Ensuring long-term survival then by avoiding those pitfalls, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, deal with it head on. Put credit control at the top of your list in every agenda, every meeting you have. You should be asking, where are we with credit control? What is due? What's due to come in? How do we do compared to last week, last month? Look at those comparisons. Make sure that if you see any trends or patterns, especially like, you know, if there's a particular group that are not paying on time, you need to find out why. And that will tell you that story in your credit control. Make that debt real. Follow up with the customer. And polite persistence. You know, a lot of people see credit control as, you know, the stick. And from my perspective, I certainly don't see it that way. I see it also as an advocate for the company, because you advocate for the client as well and provide that feedback and say, well, you know, this customer actually said that they got their delivery late, or that they ordered a product and it wasn't the product that was delivered, but they were too busy at the time and they had to just work with what they had. So it's providing that feedback back to the company and saying, how did this go wrong and how do we make sure that doesn't happen again? So you're actually improving customer service for the customer and for the company, and making sure that any small issues there are being ironed out all the time. So credit control should be communicating with your sales team. It should be communicating with your senior management team and making sure everybody's informed. A lot of the times those problems don't actually come to light until somebody picks up the phone and speaks, and usually that is somebody from credit control pursuing payment. So, you know, it's a very important communication tool in a business if it's used correctly.
And Julie, you touched on it there, very rightly so, that obviously credit control is a hugely important part of business, no matter what stage of business you're in or what's happening, I suppose, around you. But at the moment, we are in very difficult times now with the cost of living and running costs, and businesses are increasing the whole time. So I suppose it's just that extra bit maybe important now just to keep on top of it and to manage it as best as businesses can.
Absolutely. And it's something that we all experienced even in the last 2 years. And I won't mention the words, but we all know what I'm referring to. But a lot of businesses were able to pivot very, very quickly during those trying times because they had good credit control management there. So they had the surplus funds in the bank to say, OK, you know, half our staff are now working from home and we need to now supply them with laptops. They were able to respond to that need very, very quickly. Other businesses that had poor credit control were not able to do so because they didn't have the funds to just turn the business very quickly and respond to what was happening in the market. You know, the other issue is being able to invest, save and respond very quickly. So oftentimes if a business is a small business expanding and they come across a great, you know, site and they're saying this would be great for our business to expand, but they've poor credit control, so they can't step in and say, right, let's snap this up. They can't make those quick decisions. And obviously in small business, it's all about making decisions very, very quickly, but with a good head on your shoulders. If you have good credit control, you'll be able to do that very, very quickly. So it's really important that you make sure that you have those funds there for that rainy day, that you can say, right, let's do this, let's move, let's turn the business, let's make it happen. And we've seen a lot of success stories that were able to do that.
That's fantastic. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the show. It's been great talking to you.
You too, Amber. Have a great day.
It's time for another quick break now, but do stay tuned to us here on Radio Kerry.
In Business on Radio Kerry. For information and advice on personal and commercial finance.
Supporting local businesses and produce is something we've all become accustomed to in recent times. Super Value's Food Academy promotes local produce, and those who've taken part will have their products available in the Taste of Local section in store. Among those who took part was Emily's, which is a business based in Glenbey. I'm joined now by co-owner Brian Spain to hear more about the business. So Brian, you're very welcome to In Business.
Thank you very much.
So will you tell us a small bit about the business first, Emily's?
Emily's began back in 2019, only a few short years ago, and we wanted to do sourdough pizzas and some actual sourdough baked in the pizza oven. And that all went very well. And then obviously 2020, COVID came knocking and we had to look and reappraise our business. So we concentrated on our baking. And that has grown from strength to strength. And now we have very strong bakery business in Glenbey, but we also still do our takeout sourdough pizzas. And recently, again this year, we do eat-in, both for pizza and for brunches. One other thing we also did is we introduced the whole delicatessen side of it, which is extremely interesting because it allows us to support a lot of local producers from different areas in Kerry and further afield.
That's fantastic. And what kind of items do you stock in the delicatessen?
We stock everything from natural sea salt and dingle to organic relishes from Waterville, from Easleaves, to different chocolates from different parts of Ireland, to different mustards, any Irish organic product, and also some Irish lifestyle products from La Bougie candles and many, many other products.
That's great. A real mix, which is lovely to see.
Yeah, we call it a treat shop for adults.
Brilliant. And Brian, you would have taken part in the Super Value Food Academy that showcases local producers. How did you get involved in the first place?
We first got involved by taking part in some of the many fantastic local enterprise office courses that run. So for micro producers and how to be able to progress from micro production into a more dedicated professional production and onwards from there. So it was through James Burke Associates who run the Food Academy that we got involved. And it was a fantastic journey over the last year with the Food Academy.
Tell us a small bit about the journey that you went on. I suppose the whole process, what did you do or what did you have to do as part of the Food Academy?
At the outset, it tries to look for people who would basically be home producers or extremely micro producers and how to bring them on the journey. It brings them across many different aspects of food production because it's actually the production of the food itself, but as important as that is the packaging of the food, the shelf life of the food, the health and safety of the food, the marketing of the food, the transport of the food, and how to work with a multiple like SuperValue, introducing micro producers and how to work with a company like SuperValue.
Excellent. I can imagine it was great to learn all the different aspects, I suppose. I know you obviously would have had a very good grasp on your own business and what that involved, but I suppose the other factors as well. It was great to have that to kind of guide you through it and just to know how to best navigate it.
It really is fantastic because they bring specialists from each field and they bring these specialists to do mentoring and to do workshops with you. So it gives you, while any individual person may have certain aspects of the business that they have some experience in, I'd say very few people would have as rounded a viewpoint as the Food Academy can bring you. So you might be good at marketing. What the Food Academy does, it gives you a full 360 overview of what's necessary for a micro producer to reach the next level and go into a position where you can actually supply a multiple, even if it's a small number of stores at the beginning, but that you can supply a multiple and take your business to the next level.
Starting a new business can be daunting, and I suppose there's so many different things that you need to be on top of, but the most important thing is probably getting the product out there and getting the name out there. So how did you find that the Food Academy benefited you in that way?
Well, for us, prior to joining the Food Academy, as for most of the people who do the Food Academy, they are already present in the market. So they may be going to country markets, they may be supplying one or two local stores, but then what the Food Academy does, it shows you a path into other distribution models, other distribution avenues. Again, always taking into account that you are a micro producer. So whether you're going to do tastings inside a super value, or whether you're going to try and get into 3 or 4 or 6 or 7 super values, or whether you should do that in at the same time doing the farmers markets. But each product, what is the best route for you to get your product into the market?
And Brian, how has business been going for you? Have you had a busy summer season?
We've had a great summer season. People were worried about it after with the European markets opened up, but we have managed to actually increase on last year, which we're very delighted with, to have the support of both the local community and of the visiting community. So business has gone well for us this year, and we've opened our bakehouse shop in Killorglin, in the O'Donnell's Bakery in Killorglin, which we're delighted with. And that we had our first puck last week, which actually went very successfully.
That's brilliant.
We're now looking forward to the returning at the end of August. We'll have obviously the return to school. So, and we look forward to our first autumn and winter in Killorglin.
That's great. Exciting times ahead. You mentioned it at the start of the interview, but you were thrown into the deep end in a way, really, when COVID came. And I suppose you pivoted and did your takeaway services. But have you any more plans for the business?
Well, our major plans are really to focus on the food service sector, so as to bring our breads and confectionery to the food service sector. We're already available in Killarney in the Re Raw Cafe, and we're also available in Fieries in this new Spar Shop in Fieries. But that is the area we will be building on, the food service. And we'll also, Emily's from Glenbay, will be looking at ready-to-eat meals and other charcuterie. So we're basically going to build the food service sector of our offering and keep our retail and build the food service.
That's great to hear. And it's great to hear that the product is so widely available at the moment. So there's plenty of opportunities for customers to get their hands on the product.
Yes, as I say, at the moment we have Killarney, Fieries, Glenbay and Killorglin, but we look forward to bringing our products. We already have some interest in Farm 4 and further afield. We look forward to bringing our products further afield.
That's fantastic. Brian, thank you for taking the time to join me on the show, and the very best of luck with the business into the future.
Thank you very much, Amber, and we really look forward to building Emily's further in Kerry.
That brings us to the end of this evening's show. Thank you for joining me, Amber Galway. A very special thank you, as always, to my guests who joined me this evening. Stay tuned to us here on Radio Kerry. Sari Houlihan is up next with AgriTime. That's all from me. Enjoy the rest of your evening.